welcome to Tiny Urban Homesteading. I'm your host, Justine. I'm a blogger and YouTuber of Country Girl in a Small and City World. I'm excited that you're here with me on this crazy journey of urban homesteading. I hope you enjoy our episode today and find this information useful and you want to come back for more. So here we go. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Tiny Urban Homesteading Podcast. Today is episode number 13. We are going to discuss today about planning your spring garden. And I know you're probably thinking, we have a lot of days until spring. It's still snowing outside. Well, to be completely honest, I do agree, but there is only 62 days left until spring. And even though it feels so far away, it's actually really, really close. So let's get into the episode so we can talk about some fun things when it comes to planting your spring 2021 garden. So I opened up my mailbox the other day and I had like three or four different seed catalogs in my mail and I was so excited. I look forward to this time of the year all the time because I love just browsing through the catalogs and seeing what awesome seeds are in there, what I can grow, what new items are in there. And it's always an exciting time for me and it always gets me excited for spring. And I feel like last year was kind of a gloomy year where there was a lot going on. So I look forward to a fresh new start and I feel like spring is always that time. It's when, you know, we have new items blossoming and there's so much color and beautiful atmosphere outside. And I do look forward, especially to spring 2021, because I feel like it'll be such a great time and a positive time to see all the beautiful nature outside blossoming every single day. So when those catalogs get dropped off in my mailbox, I know that it's now time to plan. Now, as her urban homesteaders, we do struggle sometimes to figure out what can we plant, where can we plant it with such a limited amount of space that we do have. And today I just wanted to discuss some things that to look at when you are planning ahead for your spring garden. It's always good to be prepared ahead of time. That way you can get the seeds that you want. You can get all the kind of containers or however you're growing, you can get those things all lined up and ready to go. So when the last frost happens, you can be prepared to start planting and get those crops in the containers or the ground that you need to start the growing process. So for me, the first thing that I look at when I am planting my garden each year is what am I actually going to grow? Now, it's trial error for me. Some years I've grown one thing and it went well. Other years I grew something else and it didn't go so well. Or I found things that I would have changed. I would have planted earlier. I would have planted later. I would have got a different seed. I wasn't impressed by the quality of the product. There was things that I should have grown that I didn't. And there's things that I did grow that I really shouldn't have because I didn't really use that product and it went to waste. So for myself, the best thing that I can do is look back on what I've purchased in the past 6 months, and I will pull up old receipts or I'll look at my meal planning. It's usually easier for me to look at my meal planning because I do write it down on a month-to-month basis, so then I can just go back and look and see what we had and kind of see what produce that I was purchasing heavily during the last 6 months. So write down a list of items that you are purchasing frequently at your grocery store. So your produce items, such as your tomatoes, your cucumbers, whatever that you're purchasing the most, you need to write down because you want to always grow things that you're going to eat. You never want to throw anything away. So it's always important to grow things that your family is going to eat so you do not waste it, and it will save you money by not having to go to the grocery store and purchase that item frequently. So I start by writing my list down of all the items that I buy frequently. Now I will say, disclaimer, say for instance you're making something where you use that ingredient once in a while, don't grow it. Say for instance you make a certain kind of salsa and you add a specific kind of hot pepper in there, but that's the only time you use hot peppers, then I wouldn't suggest growing hot peppers because if you don't use it any other time than just for that one recipe, it's not worth the money and the time growing it if you're not in the long run going to use it more frequently than just one time. So take that into consideration. Don't buy items to plant that you are not going to eat frequently because it does not make sense in the long run. So looking back at my last 6 months of my meal plan, I decide what are the key items that I am going to purchase to grow because that is what we are going to benefit from the most. So when I wrote my list down the other day, I'm actually going to do a YouTube video on how I go through the process of deciding what I'm going to grow. And I had kind of have an analysis of it. I'm one of those people, I like to analyze everything. So especially even when it comes to my garden, I like to analyze, okay, well, I went through this much last year and it cost this much money. How much is it going to save me? So I am going to have a video posted here, hopefully within the next week, about explaining my whole process of how I set up my garden every year in my urban homestead. The items that I have listed is tomatoes. Tomatoes we buy so frequently. We buy them almost twice a week in our household. We like cherry tomatoes, grape tomatoes, and usually Roma tomatoes, and as well as beefsteak tomatoes for sandwiches. So for us, tomatoes is something big. We eat tons of them. Next is hydroponic lettuce. Hydroponic lettuce is something that we got into last year. We really like the flavor, the variety, and the taste of the hydroponic lettuce. So we do purchase that in the store right now, but it is not cheap. I can tell you that. It is not cheap. Herbs. We love basil. We love parsley, dill. Those are the herbs that we buy most frequently, and herbs are not cheap. So if we can grow them, it will save us a lot of money that way. We eat a lot of spinach. Also, as I mentioned earlier, tomatoes. So grape tomatoes, beefsteak tomatoes, Roma tomatoes, peppers. We're not picky. We will eat any kind of bell pepper, but we do frequently use them because we love fajitas. We love them in our salads. We love stuffed peppers. So we use peppers a lot. So that's an item we would definitely benefit from growing ourselves. And lastly, green onions. We go through a lot of green onions, and even though they're only 99 cents in the store most times, it would just be nice to have our own ready here in our urban homestead so we don't have to purchase them. We can just go out back and get them instead of having to purchase them all the time at the grocery store. So for myself, that is my list of items. It's about, you know, 7 to 8 items that we know that we eat frequently. So those would be the 8 items that we want to grow. And moving forward, I know when I'm looking through my catalogs, those are the key items that I need to focus on. There might be some items in there that I'm like, oh my gosh, we love this. We just don't buy it frequently because we don't have that item available to us or this and that. So I do like to look through the whole entire catalog, but I like to hone in on certain things that I know we're going to eat that we purchase all the time that do cost a good bit of money at the grocery store. Now, the next item that I look at is my spacing. So last year we did hydroponics. I loved it. I'm going to tell you what, I left the summer of growing thinking to myself, I'm never going to go back to growing anything in soil ever again. Well, the reality is there's some things that are just going to do better in soil than in water or vice versa. So for myself, I'm not knocking the idea of growing anything in soil. I will do that as well, but that's not my favorite way to grow things. I kind of fell in love with hydroponics. I use the Kroetke method. If you're not sure what that is, the Kroetke method is growing your products in water with certain nutrients, and you don't use a pump or anything. So basically, it's one of those systems where they always say it's kind of like you just let it be. You test every week the chemical levels and certain things, like potassium and all those different things. You check those levels, but you really don't really mess with it that much. It kind of does its own thing, and it's amazing. My produce was beautiful. My tomatoes were incredible. I couldn't imagine having a better product, but we did have a little, you know, downfall where the squirrels in the community felt that the mechanism that I had my tomatoes tied to keep them upright was a jungle gym, and it was a very windy day down here in our urban homestead, and let's just say I came home. My tomatoes were completely out of the water. They were starting to, the roots and stuff were starting to dry up. I was devastated. I almost cried. Literally, I sent a picture to my husband and I said, look, like I worked so hard. I got the tomatoes where I wanted to be and we were so excited and this is what happens. And I put the tomatoes back in. I checked the chemical levels and everything like that and it just did not work. And unfortunately, your tomatoes did not make it and I was devastated. Our peppers still did very well. Our chives, we had some okra and some other things. They did fabulous. They were in a different container. But I was a little devastated about my tomatoes. But I loved just the hydroponic methods in general because it was very simple, it was very easy, and it was so interesting to learn the science behind it. And I definitely want to, moving forward, use that method more. But I needed to figure out a better way to do it. Last year, it was a last-minute decision. I kind of did a DIY hydroponic system, which is fine. But I wish I would have done a little bit more research into it because there were certain things I should have done differently from the start that I didn't that may have, in the long run, cause negative effects on my crops and just the whole situation in general. So this year, I know that I'm looking for more of a mechanism that is more controlled, that it's not as DIY, that it has certain pieces that'll work better. I think I'm going to go a little bit away from the Kroetke method. I'm going to grow some things using the Kroetke method, but I want to also try just, you know, regular hydroponics where I do have a pumping system in it to keep that air moving. So I am going to kind of use both methods, but trying to gear a little bit more away from the Kroepke method and try, you know, your basic hydroponics this year. So I'm looking at different mechanisms that I think are going to work for me. I'm looking for some growing towers that do hydroponics, because for my space I have limited on my back porch, I can't have like multiple different buckets or pots out back because it's just not feasible with the space that I do have. So I'm kind of looking into some hydroponics towers. Some look better than others. Some have better reviews than others. So for me, I'm just kind of looking ahead to see, okay, this is my plan of action. Now, a lot of these towers, you have the ability to grow up to 25 different types of plants. Now me, 25 is way too much for us. I don't need to grow that much. I'd probably have doubles or triples of certain things more than others, or not even use all of them at once and only grow so much at one time just to see how it works in the long run. So that's my goal. I've been looking at that kind of things, looking at my spacing. Like I mentioned, I'm going to go more towards a tower growing this year. So it's going to be more vertical than it is taking up a lot of space on my back porch. For you, and that might not be the case. You may have raised beds, have the ability to grow stuff in the ground. You may have the ability to grow stuff in buckets or in pots on your back patios or your back porches, or whatever that you have in your urban homestead. So you need to look at those things too, because that ultimately will affect what you're growing in the long run too. So you may want to kind of change up the order of how I'm discussing these topics. You may want to figure out what space you have, what kind of containers, what ideas you have before jumping into deciding what exactly you want to plant in your urban homestead. So that's something to think about as well, because everybody's different in how they do things. Certain people like to grow things a certain way. So you just need to figure out what space you have, what you're going to grow in, and go forward from there. And you can then decide, okay, well, we have this limited amount of space. What are we going to grow? Moving on to the next key factor is how much are you going to grow? And this is a big one too, because you don't want to overproduce and you don't want to underproduce, because if you overproduce, you're going to throw it away. And that's very sad. We don't like to throw food away. But if you underproduce, then you're going to be mad at yourself at the end of the day, because you're going to be like, why didn't I grow more? I knew I should have grown more. You have to kind of do an analysis. Like I said, I like to kind of analyze things. So for me, I say, okay, if I am going through 2 pounds of tomatoes a week, that equals this much. And how many weeks are my tomatoes going to last? Okay, this is how much I need to grow. Now, a lot of the seed catalogs will tell you kind of the lifespan of a product. So one of the products I looked at was a hybrid beefsteak tomato. They are saying that it has a lifespan of about 80 days. So you're getting crops for a good portion of those 80 days, not the exact 80 days, but you know, in between. So maybe you're getting 50, 60, we'll say around 50, 60, and you're gonna get about 18 to 20 tomatoes off of one solid vine potentially. So for myself, I'm thinking, okay, if I can get, you know, 18 tomatoes or 20 tomatoes or 1 pound or 2 pound or whatever it is off of one stalk of the tomatoes, okay, well, this is how much I need to grow. So looking at those kind of things, analyzing it, looking at what products are going to grow better than others. Now, obviously, I like hydroponics. Cucumbers are probably not going to be the best option for me in my tower. Vertical tower that I would think of, I may have to grow those a different way. So looking at just those kind of things as well and seeing how much of what product you need to purchase to make sure you're able to provide for your family. Now, looking at the seeds, a lot of them come in seed packs of, you know, 25 seeds to 2,000 seeds to 300 seeds. Like it can go on and on and on, the amount of seeds that you get. So you need to make sure, if you're only going to end up growing like 5 or 6 plants and you have all these seeds, make sure you're storing your seeds in a nice container so that you can keep them, because you don't want to throw them out. There's a lot of different methods out there how you can store your seeds from year to year. I suggest that because that's potentially food in the future. So it's always good to have those. And even on my last podcast, I talked about short-term and versus long-term food supply. Having seeds in there in your long-term food supply is very helpful. So that's the key side note there too, kind of going back on my last podcast. If you do have those extra seeds, store them away. That's important, because if something happens where there's no more food being produced, you have that ability to grow your own food in a time period. So just think about that as well. So first foremost, make sure you know what kind of space you have, what kind of containers you want. Next, decide on what you want to grow for your family. Number three, make sure that you're growing responsibly, trying to grow enough for your family, not trying to overproduce or underproduce. It's better to underproduce in my mind, because then you're like, okay, now I know for next year what I need to do. But overproducing, that could be a problem if you don't have the ability to give it to someone, to donate it to someone, then it's just a waste. So look at those things as well and kind of where you sit at with the producing. Now, with that on a side note, have a garden journal. That will help you because from year to year, you'll know what worked out best, what didn't. Have that journal and that log where once a week or once a month, you kind of talk about your experience growing for that month or that week. That way you can look back on it the following year and say, okay, well, this worked good. This didn't. We grew way too many cucumbers and we grew way, way less tomatoes than we could have. And we could have ate more of them and had more for the winter months. So you need to look at those things. Have a journal, just a little, even a little notebook that you have that you keep along with your seeds just to talk, you know, basically write your journey down from what happened that week to that month so that next year, you know, you will have a better plan of action in the way you do things. Like I said, for me, I had my garden journal last year when I had my whole squirrel mishap when they thought that the hydroponic tomatoes were a gymnasium out there and knocked everything over. I wrote down that I need to have a better mechanism, that I can't do this because the time and the effort I put into it, I felt like I failed because that happened and it was devastating to me. So I had that, I wrote it down and I knew that this year I needed to figure out a different way. So that's why I'm looking for an alternative mechanism for my hydroponics. So it's those things that are important because they will help you on a year-to-year basis when you are gardening. For me, it's all about organization. So going into the growing season, know exactly what seeds you want, how you want to plant them, what crops you want, how much of it, and you'll be good because being organized is going to help you in the long run. Buy your seeds now because you're going to get to a point where there's going to be some companies. I know there's one company that I wanted to purchase their seeds. I was too late. They're already stopped producing for right now because they can't keep up with the demand. So I missed out on the ones that I normally wanted because I waited technically too long. Who would have thought, you know, the end of December was too long? But it was too long. So I, unfortunately, right now I can't get any seeds from them because they're so booked up with orders that they cannot keep up with them. So I might have to go to an alternative route until I can get seeds from them, or they may not have any more seeds for the rest of the season. So be prepared, have a plan, and know what you want, where you want it, because having the power to grow your own food is amazing. We saw in 2020, food kind of got a little sketchy there. Some items where you were only allowed to buy one of a product, they couldn't get certain products in, the prices on stuff went skyrocketed. People were price gouging, even though it's illegal. There's a lot of crazy things that really went haywire in our food system that I think a lot of people would open their eyes to realize that we are not guaranteed that people are going to be able to produce food for us. We're not guaranteed that we're always going to have food available at the touch of our fingers. That's the reality of it. And I think it was good that it opened a lot of people's eyes to that. Was it a bad situation? Yes, but it did kind of remind people that nothing is guaranteed and that you have to be responsible for yourself and your family and to protect your family and keep them fed and to keep them healthy and just all in all be responsible for yourself and your family. So being able to grow your own food in your backyard is awesome because you always have that kind of that safety net and that safety blanket because you know how to do it and you know what to grow and what's successful. So that can help you in the future if something seriously happens and you need to rely heavily on growing and raising your own food. So I highly suggest if you're an urban homesteader and you haven't got into gardening yet, you totally need to. It's amazing. I always say it's amazing superpower that we can grow our own food. How cool is that? So I hope you all have enjoyed this episode today. And if you ever get the time, head on over to my YouTube page. It's Country Girl in a Small City World. I also have a Facebook page as well and a blog at Country Girl Small City World. Check it out. I always try to post up at least once a week some interesting things that you may find interesting for your urban homestead or your just homestead in general. So I hope everyone has a fabulous rest of your day, and I will see you in the next podcast.